Okay, great. Well, I want to speak to you. I have a long title to my message this morning. I hope you can remember it. Where's Marion? Marion, the title is Empty. It's an inside joke there. So when you think of empty, it can have both positive and negative connotations, yes? Let me share with us a few of those and see what you think. When you ask one of your children to empty the dishwasher and it's empty, I'd say that's positive, yes? Yeah. Now, how about when you go to the refrigerator to get milk for your cereal and the milk carton is empty? That's not such a pleasant experience, no. Or how about when your son or daughter empties the trash unexpectedly? Whoa, yeah, I heard a whoa there. Yeah, that's a good one, right? That only happens once every red moon or blood moon, huh, whatever. Okay. Well, how about, that one didn't come all the way up. That's interesting. How about you went to get a bowl of ice cream and the container was in the freezer, but it's empty? Oh, isn't that frustrating, huh? You're looking forward to that, and it's not even that the container's not there. It's in there, but it's empty. Well, how about you ask your son or daughter to finish their dinner, and their plate is, come on, clicker, it's not working here. Did you guys take control back? What happened here? Huh? Try it again? It's empty. Yeah, you know the answer. It's empty. There we go. All right. All right, now here's one that a lot of you can relate with, I'm sure. You get in the car in the morning. You're rushing to work, okay? You've just got just enough time to get there. You don't have any spare time. And the gas gauge is what? Empty. Oh. I've had this happen when one of my sons or daughters had driven my car the night before, and I get in, and it's empty.
Never.
Not anymore. Well, I got this one for Nick. The bases are loaded with the Orioles, and Chris Davis steps up to the plate, and he hits what, Nick? Hits a home run, that's right. And now the bases are empty, and that's a good thing, right? Yes, especially if you're an Orioles fan. Yeah, they're actually playing better. But anyway, I won't go there. Well, how about this? I feel empty inside. It's not a very good feeling, is it? No. It's not a very good feeling. In fact, Charles Spurgeon once said, "Anxiety does not empty tomorrow of its sorrows, but only empties today of its strength." How about that, huh? Anxiety does not empty tomorrow of its sorrows, but only empties today of its strength. So if you have your Bibles with me, turn with me, with you, not with me. If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to Luke chapter 24. I know some of you use electronic versions, and I actually like that myself, but I'm going to read from a paper version this morning. Makes me feel old-fashioned. Thank you. Luke chapter 24, beginning with verse 1. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they, speaking of a number of women, came to the tomb bringing the spices that they'd prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. They went in, but they did not see the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men stood by them, dazzling in dazzling clothes. So the women were terrified and bowed down to the ground. "Why are you looking for the living among the dead?" asked the men. "He's not here. He has been resurrected. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and rise on the third day?'" And they remembered his words. Returning from the tomb, they reported all these things to the 11 and to all the rest, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them were telling the apostles these things. But these words seemed like nonsense to them, and they did not believe the women. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. And when he stooped to look in, he saw only the linen clothes. So he went home amazed at what had happened. Father, we just thank you again this morning for the privilege of plumbing the depths of your word, which we believe is an eternal word. And as we look today into the events that occurred almost 2 millennia ago, we pray, I pray, that you would open the eyes of our hearts to see these eternal truths as you've revealed them to us, your people. And Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. The women were terrified, and they bowed to the ground. And the angel said, "Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He is not here. He has been resurrected." The tomb was what? It was empty. The tomb was empty. But I want to suggest to you that before that tomb was ever emptied, its occupant had emptied himself. Paul, writing to the church in Philippi 20 to 30 years later, says these words, chapter 2, beginning with verse 5, "Make your own attitude that of Christ Jesus, who existing in the form of God, did not consider equality with God as something to be used for his own advantage. Instead, he what? Emptied himself by assuming the form of a slave and taking on the likeness of men." Long before Jesus ever filled that tomb, he had emptied his life. He, God, came to earth, lived as a man, did walk through life just like you and I do. He had to work. He worked in his dad's carpentry shop, making things out of wood, working long hours, sweating, dealing with the stuff of life that you and I have to deal with. That's an amazing God, isn't it? That he chose to do that. It's the only God, and I've studied world religions, and those of you that know me well know I'm a student of Islam. And none of the other religions teach that God came and lived like you and me. He suffered what we suffer. He experienced what we experience. He had to deal with the stuff of life that we have to deal with every single day. And yet, he lived a life without sin. He lived a perfect life and should have never, ever gone to a cross to die. There was nothing he ever did wrong that justified that death that was reserved only for the worst of criminals. And yet he did that. He had emptied himself to come and serve us, to serve you and me. He emptied himself to serve our lives, to do something that no one else had done before. St. Ignatius says it this way: "He became what we are that he might make us what he is." He became what we are that he might make us what he is. And Madame Goyen said, "God gives us the cross, and the cross gives us God." There it is. God gives us the cross, and cross gives us God. A number of years ago, the movie Saving Private Ryan was released. How many of you saw that movie? A lot of hands. Yeah, pretty tough movie to watch, wasn't it? It was pretty, I'll tell you, it's one of the, that and the movies that Spielberg made later were some of the most accurately descriptive movies of warfare that I've ever seen. And it's brutal, it's bloody, it's not at all pleasant. And he did a marvelous job of capturing that. So if you know the story, this group of Rangers was assigned to go and rescue Private Ryan. And they had to fight their way to get where he was behind enemy lines. And they finally got to him. And they said, "We're here to rescue you. We want you to come back with us." And he said, "No." He says, "I got to stay here. There's a battle brewing. There's going to be a big fight. And I can't leave the rest of my men." And so the Rangers, being the type of men they are, said, "We'll stay and we'll fight with you." And they did. And they lost a lot of men, including the hero of the movie, Tom Hanks. As you see him pictured there as an army captain, he was mortally wounded. And he's lying there dying. And Private Ryan bends over him. And Tom Hanks whispers these words, "Earn this." Guess what? Hollywood took some liberty. No Army Ranger would have ever uttered those words, "Earn this." The motto for the U.S. Army Rangers is "Sola Sponte," the Latin, which means of one's own accord, or "I volunteered for this. I chose this." In other words, what should have been said, Tom Hanks should have been saying, was, "I chose this. This is free. You didn't pay anything for this. I give up my life for you. That's my job." And see, that's what happened with Jesus on the cross. Neither you nor I have earned this. You never hear Jesus saying, "Earn this. I've given everything for you. Now you just need to gut it out for me." What he says is, "I volunteered for this. You don't have to pay anything for it. I volunteered for this. You don't have to pay anything for it." You see, Christ's work was a completed work. He was rejected so that we might be accepted. He was condemned so that we might be forgiven. He was punished so that we might be pardoned. He was hated so that we might be loved. He was crucified so that we might be justified. He died so that you and I might live. He was resurrected to give us hope. The hope of life eternal. The hope of life with Him forever. In fact, the Apostle Paul later speaks to this when he says these words, "But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our proclamation is what? Empty. And your faith is also empty. If we put our hope in Christ for this life only, we should be pitied more than anyone." See? You see, God emptied the tomb so that He could fill our empty hearts. More than 40 years ago, I was in a place in my life where I really shouldn't have had any concerns. I was a midshipman at the Naval Academy. I had one more year before I graduated. Had a future ahead of me, a job promised. A lot of people going out of school today are worried about a job, aren't they? They paid me to go to school. Actually, you paid me. Thank you. It's your tax dollars. I didn't have to worry about paying for school. Didn't have to worry about a job. I was looking forward to my senior year. I'd be buying a car in a few months. They got good deals on cars. I'd buy my first car. I was dating this really cute girl named Linda. Man, I had it all. I was on top of the world. But there was something inside of me that was empty. And none of those things could fill it. None of them. It just was there, empty, aching, crying out for something more. And it was at that time in my life that I began to understand what Jesus had done for me. And I began to understand how he gave his life for my life. And how he gave his life for your life. And how he poured out his life. He emptied himself so that I could be filled. And as I made that transition, as I said, Jesus, come, fill my life. He did it. And my life's never been the same since. 40-something years later, it has never been the same. And I'm so grateful that that cute little girl I was dating made that same decision about a month later. And now we've been married for over 40 years. Amen. Yes. So just like that skit about the birdcage, many of you, maybe some of you, maybe not many, but some of you here this morning, you may feel like you're in that cage, in that very same cage, and that door needs to be opened for you. There's something in your life that's empty that needs to be filled. And I want to suggest to you this morning, I don't want to suggest to you, I want to tell you. It's not a suggestion. I believe with all my heart that if you ask Jesus to fill that empty spot in your heart, if you ask him to open up that door for your cage, if you ask him to release you from those things that are holding down your life, that are binding you, that are keeping you from all that God has for you, he'll do it. He'll do it. He'll bring that freedom to you that every one of us wants and needs. Well, I'm going to close with a video that sort of brings this all together. And at the conclusion of the video, our wonderful folks are going to be sharing with us in dance. So consider these words. In fact, let me just pray, and then I ask you to consider them. Father, I just pray this morning that if there's anyone here, one person, or 20 people, or 30 people, whose hearts feel empty, that you would open the eyes of their hearts to see that you want to fill them. And help them to understand that when you fill us, it's forever. It's for eternity. It's not just the moment. It's not like that milk bottle in the refrigerator that will one day be empty again, or that ice cream box that's empty, or your car where the gas is empty in the tank. But you're filled. It's like having an iPhone where the battery never runs down. And you're in constant communication with the God of the universe. There's nothing more wonderful in this life. And knowing, because he rose from the dead, that there's the promise of not just life here on this earth, but life everlasting. Amen.
As we close this morning, I'd like to ask the shofar blowers to come on up, come forward. All you shofar blowers, come on forward. Here's what I want us to do as we close this morning. I want us to offer Jesus, give him an offering of praise as we close that's worthy of his name. So let's stand. We're going to blow those shofars. And then we're just going to just give him praise this morning. Just thank him for who he is and what he has done for us. So you ready? Hallelujah! Yes! Lord, we thank you. We bless you. Yeshua, hallelujah. You are the risen one, the risen king. You are. Hallelujah. Yes, yes, thank you. Come on. All right, good job. Thank you, Randy, for a great message. Bless you all. And here's the last thing I want to ask you to do. Give away the joy in Jesus' name. Amen? Okay, well, give somebody a hug as you go and have a great, wonderful, resurrected week in Jesus' name.